Hey, gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Legal Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN. RepublicBroadcasting.org. It's the long and winding road of free speech. I'm not going to explain that. You'll have to figure it out for yourself. And today is part two of the Patrick and Jeremy show. Oh, but how do people support RBN, Jeremy?
Well, you can mail your check or money order payable to RBN. You can mail it to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Call that in with your debit or credit card to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. And it's important to support RBN because we only have three producers. We have Mike and Julie and the weekend guy, Sam. And they put a lot of hard work into this. I don't think people realize that if someone calls in sick, that means one of those three are doing basically a 16 or 17 hour shift, you know, to cover. So that's a lot. And we really appreciate RBN and the producers. And I would say, Patrick, that it is the road less traveled by of free speech, because not a lot of people travel the free speech road because they're bombarded with the mainstream narratives.
You said it very well, Jeremy. So this is part two of the Patrick and Jeremy show, and we're in the middle of saying something about China. We'll get to it, but when we were doing the transition, we just started chatting. We're getting, I guess you would say, metaphysical. And we were talking about, well, how can people believe certain things? And you brought up miracles in the Bible. Do you want to take it from there?
Yeah, we were kind of in the middle of a conversation. So we were like, well, why waste this and not record it? There's a lot of very intelligent people on RBN and the call-in that, you know, question the virus theory, and they question the shape of the earth. And, I remember the guy that used to come on before me at 8 p.m. Central, Austin, I think was his last name. He wrote a whole book on it. I got his book and read it. There's some compelling arguments, but it's this whole thing of, like, question everything, and it takes a really intelligent person to question things that far, I suppose. But I was talking about miracles in the Bible. Some people may look at me and say, well, Jeremy, you believe all the miracles in the Bible, and they may look at me as though they would look at someone that, you know, believes flat earth, for example. And I brought up the miracle in the book of Joshua, how Joshua was waging a war against the Canaanites, and he needed extra daylight. So he prayed, and it said that God made the sun stand still and gave him extra time. And so people might be like, well, so you believe the earth revolves around the sun? Well, the Bible doesn't say that. It says the sun stood still. We know the sun, revolves around the Milky Way. And so he just stopped everything. And I was mentioning that once you believe Genesis 1:1, that God created the heavens and the earth, he created matter out of nothing. Once you believe that, everything else is pretty much elementary, because he surely the being that creates matter out of nothing can manipulate that matter the way he sees fit. So you get the parting of the Red Sea, the sun standing still for Joshua, the water into wine, which is my favorite miracle, by the way, and the, multiplying the fish and the loaves to feed 4,000 and 5,000 people that Jesus did. So matter, can be manipulated by the creator, but I just wonder if people look at me like that, the way that they would look at the individuals who believe flat earth or the question viruses. What say you?
So, I have spent almost 60 years studying astronomy. One of my favorite childhood books was about the planets. And as certainly before I could read or write, because, my mom would read me stuff, I could tell you that, Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto. Pluto was certainly in the books back then. And not just that, but, Earth had one moon, Mars had two small ones, Jupiter had 12, 12, Saturn had 9, and Uranus had 5, and Neptune had 2. I would have told you that. And then I remember going to a planetarium in New York City, and the person going through that the same information, and he said, Saturn has 10 moons. I said, wait a minute. Saturn has 9 moons. I've got a book. And, oh, yes, well, we recently discovered a new one. And so this has been something I've been studying for a long time. And now, of course, you know, almost 60 years later, they're talking about planets that they can't even see, but they have detected hundreds of planets going around other stars. And they talk about the Big Bang, which happened 13.4 billion years ago. That's pretty specific. And the expansion of the universe and what's going on inside the sun to power it. What's going on in other galaxies extremely far away. And it's all part of, you can call it a belief system. Like, I take this seriously, although also just as I thought there were 9 moons of Saturn, and then I was told there's 10, and I think now at this point they've cataloged dozens of them. Where was I going with this? This is part of the way I see things, but at the same time, I think the audacity of somebody who's standing on a trail in the middle of the woods, thinking that I know what's going on in other galaxies, let alone what's going on the other side of the planet, or maybe vice versa. That's audacious to think that I know that. And then finally, getting to your point about a creator who created matter out of nothing. So the people who talk about the Big Bang, they have very definite ideas about what happened going all the way back to a very small fraction of a second after the Big Bang, but not going back all the way to the Big Bang. And there are phenomenon which certainly at this point are not explainable and may never be explainable. And even if you were to say you could figure out things going back to the point of the Big Bang, well, what's the Big Bang? And isn't that matter being created from nothing? Finally, and this is getting into quantum theory, quantum mechanics, quantum physics. It's very well established that radioactive atoms decay, and they decay by sending out emitting. Well, there's alpha particles, there's beta particles, and you can say with very, very high certainty in a what the half-life of a certain radioactive element is. Radioactive, you know, if you're talking about uranium-238, what's the half-life? The half-life means how long does it take for half of those atoms, half of the atoms in your sample, how long would it take for half of them to decay? And this can be measured with a high degree of certainty. And yet, which atom is going to decay when? Which individual atom? You can never say that. That is completely random. But if you look at the whole population, the whole sample of it, you know, if you got 1 gram, you know, you can say with very high accuracy how long it's going to take for half of the atoms to decay. But you can't look at a single atom and have any idea when that single atom is going to decay. So, what I'm saying here is, and this is what I want to get into. If you do have, so you have this, you do have this unexplained, and you also have this random, predictable yet random, events going on. And if you did have a creator and a God, could random, unpredictable events be the whole steering wheel for the creation?
I will say this, that on the one hand, as a creationist, as someone that believes in God, he created the universe to make it look like, you know, the universe has been in existence for, what are they up to, billions of years now? I mean, because of the,
13.4, last I heard.
So he created it to, appear that way, I guess, to make us search research and never run out of research, you know. And you talked about the half-life. On the other hand, like the half-life of carbon, I think I just looked it up, 5,730 years. Well, I mean, that's about
carbon-14, right?
Carbon-14.
Yeah.
So that plus civilization really cannot be traced back beyond 6,000 years. It's really, you really can't do that with accuracy. You go back to Mesopotamia is about the earliest you can go. And everything before that is really just theory and belief. It is a belief system. I believe in the beginning God, and people that don't believe in God believe in the beginning matter. Well, where did God come from? Well, he's eternal. Well, where did the matter come from? So it is a belief system. It is a religion. I will say that. I've always said that. And I have yet to be proven wrong. As you pointed out, there's only so much that you can do with hard science on going back. And it's really just speculation. But, you know, Romans 1 makes a great argument. The book of Romans in the New Testament, chapter 1, it makes a spiritual argument and an intellectual argument. And the basic argument is this. The visible matter, or the invisible God, is explained by the visible matter that he created. So no one would look at a painting, and these are my words, you wouldn't look at a painting and say there's no painter. You wouldn't look at a skyscraper or a structure and say there's no architect. You wouldn't look at the internal combustion engine and say there's no engineer. Therefore, creation itself screams creator. I mean, there's design in everything, whether you're talking about the intricate DNA codes of the human body or the Fibonacci series where everything grows at a certain rate. What's the word I'm talking about? The galaxy spiral at the same rate of the Fibonacci series. So there's design in everything we see. So God has put in creation his fingerprints, his design. And what he wants is for that to draw us back to him. So that's what I'll leave you with on that. Do you have comments?
Yeah, I have comments. You know, with a lot of the science has become the basis for technology. Not all of it. Quantum physics has become the basis for the entire electronics industry as we know it. And quantum physics is the physics of the very, very small. Relativity is the physics of the very, very large. And it hasn't produced a whole lot of technology. There's a little bit of relativity that's factored into GPS systems. So it's not particularly controversial. It just hasn't proven to be very useful. And so you get utility, a certain kind of utility from these scientific, you know, some of them, not all of them, but certainly, you know, from the physics, from the chemistry, you know, other fields, you get a certain utility, you get certain benefits. Now, of course, you can also get benefits from things, even if they're not true or not real. I remember taking, voice lessons, singing lessons, opera lessons, and my teacher was telling me to, open the top of my head and sing through my neck, you know, the back of my neck and all these weird things. It don't make any sense. My karate teacher tells me to jump first and then spin. And none of that make sense, except if you actually try to do it, it works.
If you would, if I could interrupt, I just want you to break down quantum physics, if you could, for the blue-collar guys. I have a vague understanding of it. I guess basically they've observed that two molecules can exist simultaneously. I think that's my breakdown. If you could break it down.
There's a lot to it, but the quantum is the smallest amount of energy that can exist. So the quantum is the smallest amount of energy that can exist. It is a fundamental building block. You can't have a half. You can't have one and a half. It comes in discrete units. Now at our size, at our scale, those discrete units are so tiny that, it's imperceivable. Just as if you look at your HDTV, you're seeing a picture. You're not seeing the pixels. You have to get very, very, very close to maybe use a magnifying glass, and then you see the pixels. Actually, that's not a continuous picture. It is a bunch of tiny little dots or squares or rectangles. And so, the quantum, the discrete amount of energy, you can't have a half, you can't have one and a half, you got to have the integer, you have to have a unit. And for instance, electrons going around nuclei, the nucleus of an atom, like a planet can be apparently any distance from the sun. They can spiral gradually into the sun. Why doesn't a electron spiral gradually into the nucleus of an atom? Classical physics would say it would have to. But each orbit of an atom corresponds with an energy level. And once you get to this small level, these discrete quantum, they matter. And so it can't gradually spiral down. It can jump from one orbit to another, either by gaining energy or emitting energy. And, that's very important. So it can jump from one level to another, but it can't be in between levels. So that's, I guess, the most basic idea in quantum physics. A lot of other things follow from it.
Well, I really love the show Quantum Leap. Did you ever watch that show? I think we can.
No.
Well, we may have lost a lot of the audience, but I think we can bring us back. Quantum Leap was in the early 90s. Scott Bakula, he's a great actor, and he was a quantum scientist that discovered time travel. So he could travel time in his lifetime only, and he could swap places with someone back in time. So, for example, there's one episode where he swapped places with Lee Harvey Oswald. So Sam, the scientist, was Lee Harvey Oswald in the early 60s, and he was there. But, to everybody in the 60s, he looked like Lee Harvey Oswald. But Lee Harvey Oswald actually went forward in time and was in the laboratory, in the holding chamber, the entire time that Sam was doing that particular time leap. So you had these two people existing simultaneously, and that's how I've always understood it. If you haven't seen the show, you might be kind of lost, but I just thought I'd bring that up. It was a great show.
Yeah. So, okay, then relating the...
To everyone he meets.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
I just thought I'd bring that up. It was a great show.
Yeah. So, okay, then relating to quantum theory, what I was talking about earlier with the decay of radioactive atoms. So, evolution, right? There seems to have been, I think. If people use the phraseology seems to have been, you could really get a meeting of the minds rather than saying things like it absolutely was, that there seems to have been evolution, right? And the evolution, you could look at it such that it was unguided, that it was adaptation. You could look at it that way, that in order to meet the needs, the requirements for surviving and reproducing in a given environment, some traits are better than others, and they are going to. You can conceive of a system of evolution that does not need a designer. It just takes an enormous amount of time. And during the 1800s, during Darwin's own lifetime, this was always a problem for him because the amount of time it would require, he knew this and everybody knew this, the amount of time it would require for the evolution that he was proposing was way longer than any calculation for how long the sun could have existed, you know, burning and emitting that kind of energy. But because they didn't understand nuclear physics. Once they understood nuclear physics, then it gave a much longer potential lifespan for the sun, and thus unguided evolution became plausible. But here's the thing. Unguided evolution requires random mutation. How does DNA randomly mutate? Well, there's a lot of things that can mutate these molecules that are DNA. And one of them, an obvious one, is radiation, right? And as I said, radiation on like a large scale is very predictable. But on the minute scale, on the particular scale, the scale of, well, this one gene that is in the gonad that is going to be part of the reproduction, this one gene, it gets mutated. It could be mutated by a radioactive particle, right? As a result of radiation, which radiation on the, like I say, on the grand scale is very predictable, but on the scale of the individual atom is completely unpredictable. So, like I said, could this be how a creator would guide evolution? And here's the thing. Right now I'm walking down the street. I'm out of the woods. I'm walking down the street and I got my two legs moving. My legs are moving because, you know, my brain's sending some signals, but basically I've got a whole bunch of different muscles and they're all moving almost effortlessly, certainly without thought. And not only are they muscles, but the muscles have these fibers and the fibers have cells and the cells are all contracting. How much effort am I putting into thinking and actively thinking I'm going to twitch this muscle at this point and then twitch that? I'm not. It's just the most natural thing for me. And if you were an all-powerful, an omnipotent creator, how difficult would it be for you if you were to design a body, if you were to move, create whatever it is, if you were to guide evolution, if you were to guide random mutations, but they're not actually random because you're controlling it. Because while mortals cannot say which atom is going to decay when, the creator of the atom, the creator of matter, it might be as easy for him to do it, as effortless for him to do it, as it is for us to walk down the street. So I'm throwing that out there, and you can chew on it. Respond.
I believe evolution within a species, which we would actually call adaptation. Charlie Darwin made some very good observations. Was it Galapagos?
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Don't become dependent on the medical system. Get and stay healthy naturally with Extendivite. Metals in the liver cause peroxides to get dumped into the bloodstream. Peroxides do more damage than free radicals to the arteries, and the LDL has no protection from peroxides, causing the LDL to get stuck in the arteries, creating a potential blockage. Extendivite slowly chelates the metals away from the liver so it can dispose of what was meant to be a harmless process, peroxide. Extendivite's seven herbs has a job to strengthen the organs and circulatory highway. Can you afford a heart attack? Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
I believe evolution within a species, which we would actually call adaptation. Charlie Darwin made some very good observations. Was it Galapagos?
Yes.
He observed all the birds on, you know, must have come from a common bird ancestor. That's a very good observation. That lines up biblically. If you go back to the story of the flood, you know, I mean, all animals came from, you know, all dogs and wolves and coyotes, you know, came from a common ancestor. That's very believable and observable. What I'm not buying is that, like, humans share a common ancestor with an ape, because there's specific DNA codes for humans, as there are for, like, orangutans, for example. And if the code is off by just, you know, a few numbers, that's major. I mean, think about your Social Security, you know, number being off by one or two numbers. You know, you could all say, well, we share a common Social Security number, but if it's off by one number, it's different. And it was designed. So, I mean, I guess that's where I'm at on it.
Mm. Well, here's maybe this is better for the conclusion, but I'm going to put it in right now. So I mentioned that there's all of this technology that has come from many of the sciences, many of the theories and ideas within the science. And by the way, a theory or an idea doesn't even necessarily have to be correct to be useful. You know, I talked about my opera teacher, my karate teacher. You'd also think about Ptolemy and his model of the solar system, which was wrong, but it's still wrong as, you know, under our current understanding. It had Earth at the center, and it was complicated, but it did produce good calendars. But where was I going with this? But one thing that you don't get from any of these sciences is you don't get morality. You don't get values. You don't get morality. If you have morality already, the science might be able to help guide you, but you don't get the fundamental morality. It's value free. It's morality free. And, you know, so like I said, science produces technology. Religion produces morality. And right now, if you look around our society, our world, which is on fire, what does it need more of? Does it need more technology, or does it need more morality?
No, point well taken. And, you know, often morality, science, and biology, you know, do click. I mean, there's only two genders. I mean, you either have an X and a Y or two X's, period. I mean, that's what the Bible teaches. He created them male and female, period. That lines up perfectly with science. And so the morality would come in. You know, it's immoral to tell a person that they can have more than one gender, and to tell especially children that they can mutilate their bodies, you know, in order to fulfill whatever gender they think they are. You know, that's where your morality comes. It's immoral. It is not logical. Homosexuality is not logical. It doesn't produce, you know, it only destroys the body. Whereas, you know, vaginal intercourse between male and female produces children. You know, within a marriage, there's your morality, because children grow up much better with a mother and father in the home. So, yeah, I mean, I'm making the point then that morality and science do agree. I think they're in perfect harmony.
Okay.
Well,
and, you know, honestly, it's the kind of discussion I've wanted to have. I think about this stuff a lot. And, you know, I do think, here's one more thing I'd like to throw in there. And I know I've said this before, but if you, I think of this Monty Python skit. You probably remember me talking about this. And there are these two guys, they're sitting in an office, and there's a big window behind them. And then a body falls past the window. And it was Eric Idle and the tall one, John Cleese. And one of them is alarmed and says, "Did you see that?" "No, I didn't see it." "No, it was a man. It just fell past the window." And they go back to work. And then another body falls past. And, I did see it. Yeah. And then another falls past. And they say, "Oh, well, that was Jones from accounting." No, it wasn't. It was Harrison from acquisitions. And then they started arguing over who it was that was falling past the window, which is absurd, but it's funny. And then they started betting on who is going to be next. And they're, come on, you know, come on, Swanson, we're betting, come on, Swanson, it's time to end it all. No, not Swanson. You know, and they're talking like that. And, you know, it was funny. But here's the thing. If you were sitting in the office and you saw an object fall past the window, you could, and you had a timing device, such as maybe you had a camera, like a video camera, and you could count how many frames it took for that object to pass the window, so you know how much time it took to pass the window, and then using calculus, you could determine what floor that body fell from, right? Of course, and you could do that, and calculus would give you the answer. You could tell what floor it falls from, but maybe we should say what floor it seemed to have fallen from, because you're only seeing it past your window. And maybe it's appears to have fallen from 12 stories up. But for all you know, you're assuming that the body fell. For all you know, there is a catapult two stories above you that is catapulting the body past you. That this wasn't a fall that was, that, you know, spontaneously happened 12 stories above you. It was a catapult that was created two stories above you, but appears to you as if it was something that fell from 12 stories. And so what I'm getting at is, you know, metaphysically, philosophically, we see what we see. Things appear the way they appear. And we can make assumptions based on our experience about what happened when. And but of course, our own lifespans are unfortunately very, very short. And our own life experiences are very limited geographically and in a lot of other ways. And we are making an awful lot of assumptions. And if you were, I don't know, I've never been a god. I have owned guinea pigs. I used to keep guinea pigs. And I tried to keep things interesting for them and put little puzzles in, little things. And for all we know, all of this around us, all of these scientific investigations, if there were a creator and he was anything like a guinea pig keeper, he would want to keep things interesting for his people, maybe. Maybe he would have a reason for doing that. And who is us? Who are we to who are we to say what an omnipotent God has planned? At least who am I to say? That's as far as I'll take it.
Yeah, if I've understood your point, like human beings have only had, we've only had the technology to really explore the universe and creation, maybe in the last, you know, 50, 60 years. You know, before that, we only had the Bible. And so as we explore it, it seems like that the universe is vast and could have existed for billions of years because we look at the vastness of it. But we don't know if it's existed for billions of years or 6,000 years. And that comes down to faith. I think we've come full circle. It's a belief. Your worldview is a belief system at the end of the day.
A belief system. It is. It's a belief system. And I wouldn't necessarily call science a religion because I feel it lacks something that a real religion has. Although maybe for some people, they substitute it for a religion. I honestly feel that science, the way I think of it, and religion, the way I think of it, operate in completely different realms and should not be mutually exclusive. But that's how I feel.
Well, we really went way far afield on that.
Yeah, well, okay, so we've got about 12 minutes or so to finish up on the China stuff.
China hits back at U.S. over Russia. This is from RT. So we covered on In Plain Sight last night how Congress is forming a committee to talk about the China threat. And, of course, the balloon was thrown in there because why not? But now, you know, China is sort of pushing back. So the U.S. is sending weapons worth billions of dollars to Kiev while warning Beijing against assisting Moscow. And a Chinese foreign ministry spokeswoman has insisted, adding that Washington is in no position to dictate Chinese-Russian relations. And I would agree with her. You know, so we're coming down on China for supporting Russia while we have been supporting the Ukraine and dragging this war out. That's the reason the war has taken so long. Would you agree that because of Western support?
Putin's strategy has been also to minimize casualties, but obviously it's also the infinity aid that's been shipped into Ukraine. It's prolonging and increasing the suffering and the damage and destruction, maximizing it, frankly.
So even though we talk about our so-called statesmen as being incompetent, I mean, they're not stupid. Well, some of them aren't, maybe. Well, here's the point. Obviously, they see that Ukraine's not going to win this war. And as you have pointed out many times, it seems like the objective of supporting the Ukraine was to do a regime change with Putin and to bring Russia in line. Okay. Well, they see that's not happening because it's been a year. So why are they dragging this out? What possible goals could the West have when they obviously see that the number one, the Ukraine's not going to win. Number two, Putin's not going to be regime changed. Are they just waiting for Putin to get old and die? I mean, maybe that's a goal.
So what I was saying a year ago was the objective is to not to militarily defeat the Russian army on the battlefield, but the goal was to create a pretext for crippling economic sanctions that would then a crippling economic sanctions that would be joined in by the entire world, that would lead to economic hardship for the Russian people and the eventual overthrow of the Russian government by the Russian people. That was the plan. It was the plan of Victoria Nuland, first and foremost. And I've been talking about her. I got to say, I have been talking about her for longer than anybody else I know. I can look at published stuff that I was publishing in 2013. I was saying that she was the most dangerous person in the world. I was saying all this stuff. I've been saying this stuff for about a decade now about Victoria Nuland because she's been on my radar screen for a long time. And, and I think the strategy could have worked if it had been implemented early enough. But I will give Trump credit. If on his inauguration day, he fired Victoria Nuland. He somehow forgot how to fire people, even though that was his, you're fired was his whole catchphrase when he was on TV. But he fired her on his inauguration day. He took time out from Dancing with Melania to fire Victoria Nuland. I remember hearing about it on inauguration day, and I just thought, this is going to be great. God bless Donald Trump. And I think it could have worked. But what's happened is, especially over the 4 years of the Trump presidency, when these people, even though they did have influence on him and they were manipulating Trump, but these 4 years, the plan being delayed, it allowed for Russia to embark on a program of import substitution and build up its own industry to make itself more sanctions proof, and B, to strengthen its relations with other countries, first and foremost with China, but also its economic relations with India and Brazil, BRICS, remember BRICS. And so by the time this strategy actually was implemented, because it was implemented in 2021 instead of in, say, 2017, the first year of a Hillary administration when Victoria Nuland probably would have been Secretary of State, it failed. But why does it – your question was, why does it keep continuing even in – as it's failing? And I think the people in charge, the people who are running it, I think they don't have an exit ramp. Victoria Nuland does not have an exit ramp. I think for a while it might have been plausible that they just wanted to get through the midterm elections without a collapse. But basically they're trying to stave off a collapse. Just like if you watch a football game, it might look like impossible, but that one team might be thinking, okay, well, we can do a Hail Mary, and then we can do an onside kick and recover the onside kick and do one more Hail Mary, that type of thing. And I think really that this is kind of where they're at. And of course, there's other stuff going on too. The whole society is so destabilized that the idea that anything could happen is plausible. Does any of this make sense?
Yeah, I mean, so you talk about observable, like science. Well, we can observe. What we're observing is that the sanctions are only crippling the West. It's only enraging the populace of Europe, who are hit hardest by these sanctions on Russia, and it's giving tremendous amounts of power globally to Russia and China, and by default their allies, Iran and now Saudi Arabia. So to go on with this, for the West to keep going with this means that they're just willingly giving over power to the East. And that's why some people in our circles come up with the theories of, well, it's all controlled. It's all planned. Everybody's you know, on the same page, and Jews are controlling the world and they're going to control it through China. I think that's why people go there, because the people in the West are so, I mean, they're, what's the word I'm trying to think of? Like, they're giving this power over and they're destroying themselves.
Yeah, well, they're overplaying their hand. And if you look at history, this has happened repeatedly. You've had all these ebbs and flows of Jewish power. They are going for a power play. And I think they've really, really overplayed their hand. I know I'm using a lot of metaphors.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Which will conclusively prove George Soros's role in orchestrating the pandemic. But first, dear patriots, the truth train has brought us a conspiracy in our own backyard. Now, you may think you know the story.
Now, it's like I always say, there's a whole lot of bullshit out there. So I'd like to give Soros, Pelosi, the Zionists, the Mexican, the snowflakes,
Stay strong, truth tellers. Stay strong.
Let's put my arms around you, and we'll rock till break of dawn. This feels like heaven, just you and me. This feels like heaven.
You're listening to RBN, In Defense of the Republic.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With the Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream, or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Yeah, well, they're overplaying their hand. And if you look at history, this has happened repeatedly. You've had all these ebbs and flows of Jewish power. They are going for a power play. And I think they've really, really overplayed their hand. I know I'm using a lot of metaphors, but I think they've really overplayed their hand. They have done accelerationism. This is massively accelerated. And, you know, with, everybody remembers Madeleine Albright in her interview with Leslie Stahl, and she was asked, well, the United Nations says that 500,000 Iraqi children have died as a result of the sanctions against Iraq. Do you think it's the price is worth it? And Madeleine Albright paused for a few seconds, actually thought about it, and said, yes, we feel that the price is worth it. And so Victoria Nuland, okay, was she necessarily planning on the destruction of European economies, on deindustrialization of Germany? I don't know if she's necessarily planning on that, but does she think the price is worth it? I mean, does she really care about that? I mean, the price of all of these Ukrainians dying, does she mind that? Does that bother her? It doesn't bother her. And I'll tell you one other thing. I know for a fact that Victoria Nuland and Madeleine Albright were very close. I guess Madeleine Albright died a year ago or so, but they were very close, and they met frequently. And they, you know, they share a perspective. So that's, you know, I think that even though things are going to hell, they're kind of going to hell in a way that, well, there's a silver lining. Okay, so they're not, from Victoria Nuland's point of view, and from a lot of the Jewish power structure's point of view, well, they're not overthrowing Putin. But you know, if it winds up deindustrializing Germany and wrecking a lot of European countries, well, okay, that's a silver lining.
It's worth it. I mean, it's kind of like how, you know, the outcome of World War II was the fall of the British Empire, and that power basically being transferred to the American Empire. That was the outcome. Now, did the British Empire plan on that? Did they plan on losing that power? Or were they so hell-bent on stopping Hitler from, you know, doing what he did, from freeing Europe from Jewish power? The British Empire was so hell-bent on that that they're like, well, it's worth it. It's worth it if we lose our empire. Was that a good analogy?
That, I think that's an excellent analogy. And we're just about out of time, but I was going to say, how about the rehabilitation of Adolf Hitler that's going on amongst certain circles, not just a few random people here and there, but the Groypers, you know, Nick Fuentes. I mean, obviously Kanye West saying that, you know, he loves everybody. He loves Jews and he loves Nazis. And, he wants to bring together Jews and Nazis in the spirit of love. And everybody's got something to bring to the table, especially Hitler. And so now Nick Fuentes is on his shows. He's saying, you know, and of course he's a funny guy, but there can be a lot of truth and humor too. And he's saying, you know, things have really changed a lot. You know, we're doing this, we're doing that. We love Hitler. It's kind of funny, but how about that?
The guy with the funny mustache had a lot to bring to the table.
He had a lot to bring to the table. Okay. Well, hey, I want to thank you for, I really do want to thank you for joining me and for keeping it so classy.
Thank you, Patrick. Stay classy.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Jubilee.
Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.